Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Some of you guys scare me. So we struggled and struggled and struggled this week because I didn't want it just to be another message, but God knows what He's doing, though.
That's
right. Amen. And when I finally get myself out of the way and let Him have control, that's when things fall into place. The title of the message this morning is "Mother is More Than a Word," and it truly is. It's an occupation. It's a position. It's so many. It's more than just a word. And I can tell you that when I was growing up, and I don't mean to make light of fathers, because I think a father is a very important position as well. But I can tell you, growing up, if you said something about my father, it didn't bother me. I can tell you, growing up, if you said something about my brother, it really didn't bother me. You could even go so far as to say something about me. Bother me. But I can tell you, if you said something about my mother, there was trouble coming your way. Me and my mother didn't exactly always have the best relationship, and maybe some of you here this morning are in that same boat. But a mother is always a mother. All right? And they're very important. Now, I read something this week, and I'll read it to you, and then I'll explain to you why I don't completely agree with this statement. It says, "Motherhood brings as much joy as ever, but it still brings boredom, exhaustion, and sorrow too. Nothing else ever will make you as happy or as sad, as proud or as tired. For nothing is quite as hard as helping a person develop their own individuality, especially while struggling to keep your own." And I'll tell you what I disagree with in this. It says it still brings boredom. Could you mothers that are bored this morning please stand? Because I've never seen one. And I kind of wouldn't mind seeing a mother that's bored, actually, but... As a mother, there's always a mess to clean up, or a child to clean up, or a child's father to clean up. But there's always something to clean up. As a mother, there's always a hurt to fix. Right? As a mother, there's always a pain to heal. There's never a dull moment as a mother. So I somewhat disagree with this. I agree that it's very hard, and mothers do. They help people develop their individuality, but while struggling to keep their own. And I agree that there are times of sorrow and there's times of joy for a mother. And I agree that there are times that you're tired, but I've yet to see a bored mother. So I kind of disagree with that in that respect. This goes on to say, "Mothering is the most significant, demanding, and yet disrespected profession there is. The importance of mothering can't even be put into words. Society's well-being hinges on mothers and the health of the family." Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Our society hinges on it. Not just good mothers, but the health of the family. Broken families are a detriment to society. Amen. Look around. When you see a broken family and you see a broken home, there's a lot of carnage. Amen. And it causes a ripple effect. A lot of times, the children, I can tell you from experience, I came from a broken home. And I can tell you that I used that as an excuse to do a lot of the things that I did. Amen? And society is doing that today and will continue to do that. If you would turn with me to 1 Samuel, I'm going to read there the first chapter, and then I'm going to read a little bit in the second chapter. I'm going to read to you about Hannah. Very familiar scripture, very familiar story. First Samuel chapter 1 verses 19 through 28. Now going into this, Hannah is praying for a child, and it says, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, and the bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there." You may be seated. Now we see here, Hannah knew what was going to take place. She understood what was going to take place. And how many of you mothers can imagine the thought of, after having prayed for a child for so long, after having finally been giving that child, taking it and giving it? Now, I'm by no means asking you to bring your children and give them to the church this morning and leave them here. Because as much as I love the children, I do not have the mothering instinct, nor the patience. I'm with them for a short time, and I can, you know, play with them and give them plenty of candy and get them all sugar rushed up, and then send them home with you. And that's all right, but to keep them here with me continually, I don't know that I could handle it. As I've watched many of you struggle with handling it. But you can't even imagine what was going through her mind and what was going through her heart, realizing what she was going to do and what was going to take place. But yet she still stood firm on her commitment to the Lord and her promise to the Lord. And I believe that if you have a child, you should commit that. You should commend that child to the Lord. Amen. And let the Lord know and instill in that child that they are the Lord's. And raise that child up in the way that it should go. Amen. Sometimes it's not always going to work out, but God is always going to be in their heart. God is always going to be in their mind. Wherever they go, whatever they get involved in, they're going to remember what Mom taught them. Amen? We turn now, if you would, to Luke 1, 38. And we'll go over some of the characteristics of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I want you to think about something this morning. For you mothers who struggle with disciplining your children, can you imagine the struggle of disciplining the very person who is going to save your soul? Have you ever thought about that? Mary birthed her own Savior. Amen. She birthed the very child that was going to save not only her, but the nation. How you paddle him when he gets out of line? Amen. How you tell him, go to time out? How you tell him, you can't do that? No, no. Right? But as you go through the scripture, you realize that, and I believe Mary did a wonderful job of it. All through the Bible, just almost every situation that Jesus found himself in, Mary was not far off. Amen? So some of the characteristics that I want to go over this morning is the submissiveness that Mary had, her faith, the spiritual mindedness that she had, the maternal confidence, and the maternal love. And those are great qualities for a mother to have, amen? Can I see a show of hands this morning of anybody that doesn't have a mother? We've all got a mother, amen? Every one of us. That's one thing that everybody in this room has in common. In Luke 1, verse 38, it says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." So what we see here, this is when the angel came to Mary and said that you're going to bear a child. Now Mary could have argued, Mary could have rebuked this ideal. She could have said, no, it's not going to happen. No, I'm not going to do it. But we see here in this verse that she was submissive to it. She said, let me read it again. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." In other words, whatever you say, I'm willing to do. Whatever it is that God wants of me, whatever it is that God desires of me to do, I'm willing to do. And as a mother, that's an important quality. Amen? To be willing to do what God wants you to do. To be willing to walk in the path that God wants you to walk in. To be willing to live a life that God wants you to live. To be willing to be submissive to God and to do the things that God would have you to do. And to walk in the ways that God would have you to walk. And to lead your children in the ways that God would have you to lead them. Luke 1, 46 through 55. It talks about Mary's faith a little bit here. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers and Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." And we see there that Mary had faith. It says that, "And my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior, for he have regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She had faith, and she showed forth her faith. She exhibited her faith. Amen? She didn't hold it back. She didn't hide it. She exhibited it not only to her child, but to everybody around her. Everybody that she came in contact with. Now's where it's going to get a little tricky. Because as you can imagine, with Mary knowing what Jesus' position was and what he came here for and what he came here to do, you can imagine she must have had a lot of concern. She must have had a lot of worry, right? So that's where she was spiritual minded. If you look in Luke 2, verse 51. I'll tell you what, let me read a little bit more of this. So this is where Jesus had gotten lost, and Mary and Joseph were looking for him. And when they found him, it says, starting at verse 45, it says, "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." Now, what this scripture says to me is that she knew what was going to happen from that point. She understood, she realized, she knew all along who Jesus was. She wasn't foolish about it, but at that point it really hit her what he was going to have to do, what he was going to have to go through. And it said that she pondered those things in her heart. In other words, she worried about it some. Amen? She was concerned about it. She thought about it. It was on her mind. A lot of you mothers, if you don't have anything to worry about, you'll conjure up something to worry about. Amen? You'll think of something. You'll find something to worry about. Now, I myself, I'm sure that I've been around some mothers, and if you lost your child for 3 days, I believe you'd have been worried anyway, right? So, there was worry. There was concern. And I think that, you know, as blessed as Mary was, and as special as she was, we still need to also understand and realize she was still just a woman. She was still just a natural woman who gave birth to the Messiah, who gave birth to our Savior and her Savior. So she still had the same normal reactions of any other mother. Worry, fear, concern, right? But she was always there for him. In John 2, verses 3 through 5, it says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." In other words, she had confidence that he was going to make the right decision. He was going to do the right thing. Mothers, have confidence in your children. Let them try to make some mistakes on their own every once in a while. They're going to make them. Amen? Just as you made them. Just as I made them. Hopefully your children won't make as many as I did. Amen. And hopefully they won't even make as many as you did. I think that we can all be honest this morning and say that we've made mistakes in our lives. That we've done things that we weren't proud of. That we went beyond or contrary to what maybe our mother or father instructed us to do, as Ricky said. And didn't do things in the direction that we needed to do them in. But you know the very special thing about that is Christ never holds a grudge. Amen? He never holds a grudge. He's always willing to receive you back. Maternal love in John 19 and 25. We're almost done with our reading this morning. This will be our last scripture that we'll read. Now this must have been the most painful time in Mary's life. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." Standing Mary by the cross, seeing her son crucified. But she was there, church. She was there for him. She was there with him. Seeing him go through that. Now these are wonderful characteristics of a mother. Would you not agree this morning? Mary was a wonderful mother. But in all that Mary did, and all that she was capable of, and all the good traits and the good characteristics that she possessed, she still lacked one thing. Your mother, regardless of how good of a mother she is, regardless of how much she's been there for you, regardless of how much that she has done for you, she still lacks one thing. No mother could give you salvation. Would you agree with me this morning? As special as a mother is, as critical of a position as a mother is, she still cannot give salvation. There is only one that can give salvation, and that's Christ. Now, if you're here this morning, that's good news for you. If you're lost this morning, that's good news for you. Because what that means is you still have an opportunity to get saved. Now, while yet you might want to run to your mother, while you may want to go and put your head on her shoulder and cry, she still can't save you. But Christ sure can. Amen? Mary did not possess the ability to be able to save the nation. She didn't even possess the ability to be able to save her son. He possessed the ability to be able to save her. And to be able to save you and me. Christ is the only way. Now I've heard Jimmy talk a lot about somebody who's professing nowadays that anybody who had a knowledge of the Word of Christ could have done what Christ could have done. But the Bible declares clearly that no other way. Church, there is no other way. Now, we could sing songs about mama and everybody in here would weep. You could sing songs about springtime and everybody in here would probably weep. But these things can't save. It takes Christ. In Christ alone, church. In Christ alone. He's the only way. The Bible clearly says if anyone try to come any other way, he is the same as a thief and a robber. You can't make it to heaven without him. Mama can't get you there. Mama will pray for you till you get it, amen. She'll find herself, she'll wear her knees out and her pants legs, she'll rub her face on the floor and everything else and try her best. She'll sling snot from one end of the altar to the other. But she can't get you saved. I know it sounds funny. Or maybe even a little gross. But it's the truth. They'll bear their heart for you, but they can't save your soul. It takes Jesus. It takes His precious blood being shed on our lives to save us. That's all I have this morning. That's your message.